News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Good morning to you. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel, and it is time for Pep Talk. Sit, stay, and listen with Dr. Mark. Dr. Mark Sprayberry is with Olive Branch Pet Hospital and Play and Stay Boarding and Daycare. Good morning, Doc.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm off today, so I decided.
I can tell. He came. He's got his leather black vest on. He's got his bike parked right behind the studio here. I can see it right through my window. This is pretty shiny looking motorcycle there, bud.
I didn't realize when I was revving it, you could hear it in the studio.
That's
your
okay. Your
former guest said, I heard it revving.
Right about the time we were talking about Emerald Coast Coins, they were revving the motorcycle.
Probably so, yeah.
Okay, well, we're not here to talk about motorcycles this morning. We're here to talk about all the great things you do for our pet community, so to speak, and Olive Branch Pet Hospital and Play and Stay Boarding and Daycare. Just tell us a little bit about yourself, Dr. Sprayberry, and how long you've been here in the community and some of the things that your business focuses on and the services that you provide.
Well, I'm Mark Sprayberry. I'm from Northeast Mississippi, around Tupelo, Elvis Country.
I like how you say that, Tupelo. Yeah,
Tupelo and little town called Fulton. Tammy Wynette's my hometown and whatnot. And so a lot of famous people in that little middle of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
But I went to Ole Miss, got a degree in pharmacy, practiced up in Northeast Tennessee for a while, and then just couldn't take it anymore. great profession, but it just wasn't for me. And mm-hmm. so was living in Orlando at University of Florida, got my vet degree in 95. So I've been practicing 31 years. Been in beautiful Pensacola, love it here, for 25.
Wow.
So did an internship in surgery and specialty work. So a year after my graduation. So own Olive Branch Pet Hospital. We were on Olive Road for a number of years and mm-hmm. had this huge flood back in 2005. And
that's right around Ivan time, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, Ivan was mm-hmm. 2004. And it's just this one of these freaky rainstorms, you know,
I remember.
Yeah, and it lasted 40 days. So needed to move from there, and now I'm down on Davis Highway right across from Bailey's Farmers Market.
Can't miss it.
Yep. And I have 4.2 acres, about 13,000 square feet. We've got a great, great staff. I mean, a clinic is only really as good as the great staff we have, and we have a lot of experience. We tend to handle a lot of difficult things, get a lot of referrals for stuff. With the advent of corporate practices, people buying out, you know, single practitioners or, you know, small practices, they concentrate more on the quick dollar and that kind of thing. And people go and then they just don't get the diagnosis because they don't have the time to spend with the person.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the thing, when you come to me, you get plenty of time to discuss everything. We do have, for instance, we had a cat come in, not this Monday ago, that, got into it with two raccoons.
Oh, no, no, no.
And ripped its face off. So,
oh, no.
Yeah. So, now that took about 2 hours in surgery on a Monday. And
gosh.
So we got in there and I pieced the nose back together.
Oh.
And,
and the, poor
and
baby.
He had broken his leg and
all this
other stuff.
So, I'm surprised it survived with two raccoons.
Yeah. Yeah. I know it was something. So, and of course, I worry about, you know, children, you know, they see something like that and think, oh, a little furry critter and run over there. I mean, you know, those things can be really dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
So this is in one of the really nice neighborhoods here in town. So, and the owners had a small child. So, you know, a little bit more concerned in that vein. But anyway, we do a lot of cancer work there. I do everything. I spay, neuter, I see everything. But then we have the play and stay and then the daycare, which is my boarding and my daycare is more of a psych ward for all the dogs with with problems with mine included. My two Shelties going there.
I'm wondering, should I check myself in just for a short visit? I understand you have activities and fun things to do.
Oh, it's something. They had chased the leprechaun like a week ago, and they have.
There were a lot of people in downtown Pensacola doing that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I know. And they had like apple bobbing, and then they've had kissing booths around Valentine's.
Oh, sign me up for that.
Uh-huh.
I'll do that with the puppy dogs.
It's a lot of. It's a lot of events, and like I say, I have a great staff back there. you know, we take care of, we see a lot, we board a lot of pets that mm-hmm. have trouble going anywhere else. You know, they have some behavioral problems or special needs, and we kind of handle those. We kind of.
That's good to know. And right now, folks, obviously, spring break is almost over here, but then now summer's coming up and you're planning vacations. Yeah. So I would imagine the thing to do is make that reservation now. Because I'm assuming you're going to be busy over the summer.
Yes, we were full in the play-in stay, so we will overflow into the daycare,
mm-hmm.
which is a separate building, but it's right next to, you know, the
boarding. Okay, so there's a difference between the play-in stay and the boarding. Talk separate. About that a little bit. So.
Yeah, the boarding is more for, you know, overnight.
Long-term.
Can be long-term. We've had people who... You know, I've had hip replacements and various things, and they just can't be, you know, their pets. Unfortunately, the physician world or medical world think, you know, they'll bring in bacteria and all. And I understand that. And mm-hmm. we've had people with transplants and things. So we're set up to kind of keep them long term. The daycare is a separate building. It's next door to the plan stay, but it has its entirely separate play area, which is a huge, huge area. And we've got a bunch of gym equipment that's built. So when they go there, folks, you know, they will come home exhausted. They will eat their dinner and go right to bed.
So this is ideal for people that work.
Correct.
That can't be home to take the dog out at lunchtime or whatever.
Or they, you know, the dog's tearing up the curtains, the couch.
Right. Or that.
And all that. But, you know, in one of my cases, I'll tell you real quick, one of my Shelties, Kim and I had, you know, Shelties all over, you know, marriage and and whatnot. And so this little Sheltie came out of northern Michigan. It was, there was 30 of them tied up outside year round. Now it gets cold up there, guys.
Oh, my gosh.
Really cold.
Yeah.
And an older couple, you know, would feed them occasionally. But, you know, as they got to where they were more sickly and, I think the gentleman passed away and the wife, you know, had to go to assisted living. Anyway, when the state moved in, about 7 of the 30 were dead, just lying in the yard.
Aww.
So emotionally, you know, his name is Finley, and emotionally Finley is just, you know, I've had him 8 or 9 years now,
mm-hmm.
and he has gotten dramatically improved. He was on Prozac, Xanax, and everything else. And the reason we got him is because me being a veterinarian, I treat a lot of behavioral problems. The rescue let me have him,
mm-hmm.
but we took him with the notion that the guarantee we'd have a normal one, get a normal one. So we got Quinn, which is a big personality. So they've been real good for each other. But I'm going to send out props to my ladies at the daycare because they understand and read these dogs. And we have it's done more for Finley. I mean, aww. He will come up to them now.
Mm-hmm.
He plays. He has his own friends. He plays with there. We put them in. They all have different friends.
That's so funny.
And we make a list of who they're okay with, who they play with. And I'll tell you, it has been dramatic how well he's done. And, you know, Kim had, my wife had passed away about 3 years ago, and she was real close to the dogs, mm. and taking them there has really, really helped.
Well, because they grieve too.
They do. They
really miss their owners.
They do. And and it was a sudden thing, so they didn't really get a chance to say goodbye. So, you know, we do that kind of thing for people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we love our little campers that come, but we love the people too. And we're in my office and in the boarding and on whatnot. So we'll bend over backwards to do what we can for you. I own my practice outright. I'm not corporate, and there is a difference.
Mm-hmm.
I've worked in the corporate world, and I've owned my own practice. There is a difference.
Okay, so typically then, what would be the fee per day for someone just doing play and stay? Do you have any idea of the price range on that, or do they just need to call the clinic?
The clinic or the daycare or mm-hmm. the play and stay. Now, I think... We have the lowest prices in town.
Okay.
And I've purposely kept it like that. You know, there's a lot of corporate stuff that's moved in and whatnot. And and we have a very nice facility, you know, and people kind of judge everything on how it looks and stuff. Now, we keep it clean. It's very nice, you know. But what makes a good facility and a good practice is the people. And we have a great staff. My staff tend to work for me for a long time,
mm-hmm.
and we've got some great people. And they've got experience, and they know what to do and how to handle. Because some of these dogs that come in are emotionally disturbed, like Finley.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Finley's not aggressive, but some that would have that kind of background would come in extremely fearful and very aggressive. So we tend to work with that.
That's good to
situation.
Know. Yeah, that's good to know.
Yeah, so I'm very proud of the boarding and the and you know, we tell you if they're sick, you know, we give medication, we can give insulin, we do all that. I am the only facility like this in the Panhandle where I am on site.
I was just going to ask you
on
about
on site.
That.
There's some other veterinarians in town that own facilities, but they're not on site.
That's huge.
And so if somebody gets into a little scuffle, which dogs will be dogs, I'm, you know, 200 feet from it.
Right.
I'm right there
good.
On top of it.
Well, let's talk about springtime. We are in the midst of it now. St. Patrick's Day has come and gone. We're into the spring. My car this morning was covered with pollen and leaves. And you can hear me. I've been, and I apologize to my listeners. All morning I've been going, I'm doing cough drops. I've got the spray. I'm doing it all. But it's allergy season, and it affects dogs and cats as well. What can we do? How can you help us?
Well, pets are doing the, you know, the clearing the throat too, and myself included. And currently Quinn and Finley are on some cough tabs and things for it.
So you can actually give your dog or cat cough tabs?
Well, it's it's a veterinary dose.
Okay.
And it's literally called cough tabs.
Oh, my gosh.
Every veterinarian in town will have them.
That's hilarious. I didn't know that.
Yeah, do not give your pet over-the-counter.
That's a good point.
Human stuff, unless your veterinarian says okay.
Okay.
All right? You know, the one thing I tell people, you can give Zyrtec, which is that once a day antihistamine. You know, small dogs, maybe a 5 milligram. You know, larger dogs can probably handle the 10. I've seen that help some dogs that are not very severe and whatnot. And then people say, well, what about Benadryl? Well, Benadryl's fine too. Just remember, this stuff only works in about 30% of the cases.
Really?
Okay? Yes.
Oh, that's interesting.
Now, your veterinarian will have stuff like Cytopoint injections, and there's some other tablet forms similar to Cytopoint. Cytopoint's an injection that lasts 30 days. The tablet form you have to kind of give every day and whatnot. But that is the thing we normally do. Kind of gone are the days of using steroids. Now, we'll use steroids occasionally for like a real bad hot spot.
I've seen those on dogs. My dog used to get one on the very back, right by his tail.
Yeah. I treated one yesterday, and they
the
can
hair
go
starts to get really thin, and they're scratching, but they can't quite reach it. And
And it gets really raw and angry. And that can go from zero to that in 45 minutes.
Right.
So the treatment for that is I usually get a little steroid shot, lasts about 2 days. And then I put them on antibiotic for a week. We shave it and clean it. You got to get air to it. Now, the one thing people do they shouldn't really do is they want to put Neosporin on it. That's the worst thing you can do.
Really?
Because you got to have air. It's got to have air. It's got to breathe.
Oh.
You can wash it with some soap and let it dry. The problem with putting that stuff on there, it occludes the bacteria and the heat into it and just makes it worse. Plus, from a selfish standpoint, when my techs go to shave it, it gums up our shaver, our clippers.
Oh, now we're down to the real reason.
Exactly. It's a pretty thing easy trick. Now, do I use the Cytopoint or any of the pill forms of, and it's not the same as Cytopoint. There's something called Apoquel, Zenrelia, there's another one out. I don't use any of that for this because it's a short-term thing. Some veterinarians in town will use it for a week or so. But it's really not necessary. A shot's the best way to go because it hits it immediately in the inside of the system once the antibiotic gets into it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's the end of the problem. But, you know, your shepherds, your golden retrievers, if they get them on the face, around the ears, it takes twice as much treatment to fix that.
Wow.
Just so people know.
Okay. We are talking with Dr. Mark Sprayberry, and this show is called Sit, Stay, and Listen with Dr. Mark. He is with Olive Branch Pet Hospital at Play and Stay Boarding and Daycare. And if you have a question about your dog, maybe you're seeing some signs of allergies on your cat, you can always text in your questions at 850-437-1620. Obviously, there's probably some not-so-subtle differences between dogs and cats. I know for dogs, I've mentioned this last time you were here, my dog used to start chewing on his paws. Mm-hmm. That was my first clue that there was something going on. But it's different for cats, right? Yeah.
Well, with dogs, on that point, the number one reason people are coming in right now is they're chewing on their feet.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them are having a cough. And people say, oh, it's kennel cough. No, it isn't. It's this what you were doing earlier. It's more of a post-nasal drip situation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You know, I've had a couple come in and people say, oh, it's kennel cough. And I said, well, we're going to culture this and let's just see.
And maybe talk about what is kennel cough anyway, just so people understand.
We really don't call it that anymore. It's called canine upper respiratory syndrome, but it's caused by Bordetella, which is a bacteria that settles in the trachea, mm-hmm. the respiratory tract. You can get a pneumonia from it. I don't see that very often, but you can get that.
Can you get it without being in a kennel?
Yes, and that's the big misconception, Meg. Yes, you can get it. Okay. And so people come say, oh, I never board cell. I don't want board cell. Well, it's like getting a cold.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to be, you know, you can be just working in your yard and pick it up. You know, it's everywhere.
It's a germ.
Correct. So that's... With that,
mm-hmm.
It's easily treated, you know, and like say Finley and Quinn have got a little touch of it right now, and it responds real quickly. As far as a cat's concerned, cats start scratching their ears. You'll see them start scratching this and that, whatever. Now, every cat scratches occasionally. I mean, that's just a cat, you know, and then they'll, like I said, I say this every time I'm on the show, they're from another planet. You have to understand, you know, they're not normal creatures, but they're fabulous creatures. Okay, like that cat that has face pulled off, scratched off.
It's,
let me tell you, that cat's doing really good.
Aww.
I mean, that was one of the. I've seen some bad things in my 31 mm-hmm. years, but that was pretty freaking bad.
It's amazing that you were able to save him.
Yeah, it was. Probably the a little skill, but the grace of God saved that cat.
Yeah,
and all. But cats, sometimes you'll be petting them and you'll feel the bumps behind their ears mm-hmm. or on their neck. And that's usually where they've scratched because their nails are like little daggers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's usually a thing. Or a loss of hair or throwing up more hairballs than normal. All cats throw up a hairball occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're spitting them up a little bit more often, then look underneath down around their inguinal or down there between their back legs. Mm-hmm. If you see a big ball patch there, a lot of times that's a sign of the allergies. Also, it can be a sign of just... You know, they're just grooming or they can be anxious or something.
Mm-hmm. So they can bring them into you and you can check that out?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I look at all of them. I look at everything every time they come in.
Okay.
You don't want to miss anything.
So what about the shots that we need right now? I mean, this is the time of year folks are having to do, just checking on the rabies, all the different things that are required. Mm-hmm. What's required in Niskayamian Santa Rosa County? Just to kind of review some of that.
Yeah. What's the rabies is required once a year. Now, mm-hmm. there is a 3-year vaccine you give. I tend to do the 1 year for two reasons. At one point, and I'd have to fact check me on this, but I think we're still the number one state in the country for rabies, I think.
Really?
It may have changed.
Mm-hmm.
We used to be number one for heartworm, and that changed. Now it's, I think, the Delta, Mississippi, and Louisiana.
Well, that's some good news.
Yeah, I think Texas is number two, maybe mm-hmm. we're three.
Mm-hmm.
We're in the top five. But the reason I do the rabies is we do a lot of military in my office. And if those guys and girls get transferred over to a foreign country, no country recognizes anything but a 1-year rabies. So if someone's gone somewhere and they've gotten a 3-year rabies, then I have to give them a rabies shot today, repeat it in a month, and then we have to do what they call a titer. It measures the level of what they consider effective immunity. It's the blood. It has to go to Kansas State vet school. They're the only ones in the country that can do it.
Wow.
It takes about 2 weeks. So, I mean, it's a process.
Mm-hmm.
The second reason I do it is because a lot of my guys and girls that come in, they hunt. And when you got, dogs running deer and various things, there's a lot of other creatures out there that can
carry it.
Yeah, carry it mm-hmm. And whatnot. So the 1 year I just feel like gives a little bit more of effective immunity
mm-hmm.
Because when you do the 3-year, I've had to do titers on those guys and they hadn't been right where they needed to be.
Right. What are titers?
That's when you measure the blood. It gives an idea of what the effective immunity, and everybody's different. Like your titer would be different for if you got a flu shot
mm-hmm.
as opposed to what mine is. It's kind of thought to be the measure of the effectiveness of the
vaccine. And if it's still effective.
No,
we should be doing that, right?
Yeah. Now, if you got a dog that never leaves your arms and
mm-hmm.
or a cat that never goes outside or anything like that, I think the 3 year is probably great.
Right.
And guys, ask your veterinarian what they've got a lot of experience on that, too. I see a whole realm of different people from different backgrounds and stuff. The 1 year is what I do. In my opinion, I think it's best for my clients. your veterinarian, you know, will tell you what they think, and they know what they're talking about.
Yeah. We're talking with a great veterinarian, Dr. Mark Sprayberry. He is with Olive Branch Pet Hospital and also runs the Play and Stay Boarding and Daycare. So if you have a question this morning on Pep Talk, 850-437-1620. So someone just texted in and they're saying, okay, I understand I need to take care of the allergies, but how much is it going to cost? Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's
well,
probably the concern.
Well, it's a very good question. And, you know, like I said, I've been practicing 31 years.
Wow.
And I've seen it go from one, you know, stream to the other cost-wise. I like using Cytopoint injections. They're expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Pfizer needs a a competition on that. So we need another one that will maybe rival it and bring the cost down. But I think my business manager told me a year or two ago that they'd gone up like 17% on that shot in 1 year.
Wow.
Now, I understand, you know, I'm a pharmacist too, guys. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I understand 3 or 5%. I get it, you know, cost of things.
Mm-hmm.
But 17 at that time, it was a pretty high thing. So what I did was I went up 7%, and I kind of ate the other 10%.
Well, that was generous
of
you.
Well,
that
I just
makes
didn't
a big difference for your clients.
Correct, and I just didn't feel right. But it's still expensive. I don't want to throw out any numbers, but I'm going to tell you, you get a 200-pound bull mastiff, and the reason I know this because a friend of mine owned one.
Wow, and it's a big dog.
Her Cytopoint was $300. You get a small dog, it may be $50 to $60 or something like that, a toy breed. So it's everything in between.
Right.
Most patients that come in, it's usually $100 to $150 for the shot. But it's a lot less expensive than having to try some Benadryl and trying this, and then you come in and spend twice as much because if you just brought them in for the shot and it's the end of the problem, you know. Now, sometimes they'll take two shots. And what they recommend and what I've recommended, and they don't, you know, of course you go to these meetings about this and it's as good as sliced bread, the shot is, and it is. However, what they don't tell you is I recommend if your dog has allergies, usually starts in March, we started kind of in February this year, I recommend getting one before it gets real heavy.
Right.
And then it may take
preemptively.
Preemptively. And then the next one may be 30 days later, and then you may not need any more.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a lot less expensive to, you know, like most things, to be preventive care. You know, you spend a couple hundred bucks and it saves you $1,000.
Mm-hmm. No, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Okay, we got another question, a little bit different topic here. Just recently got a puppy from a rescue. They've told me that the puppy has all the shots needed and a microchip. So puppy looks very healthy. However, do I have to go back to the same veterinarian and when do I go back? When do I need to start that annual visit?
Okay, that's a very good question as well. I recommend rescues do a great job.
Mm-hmm.
There's no doubt. They are a lot of times privately funded. The shots usually are up to date. There is one that I don't tend to say they do too often, but it's the canine influenza, which is a reportable disease in the state of Florida.
Okay.
And it's kind of like foot and mouth disease and all these, you know, rabies is reportable.
Right.
All these. So it's a highly contagious. There was a case in South Mississippi probably about 6-8 months ago. So we don't see it a lot, but if you see it, it can be a real bad epidemic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and it can kill pets. It can be lethal. So that's the one shot usually they don't give. Most rescues don't give. Okay, so what I usually recommend with the rescue, and I did a lot of work for Humane Society and various rescues over the years. I do Cocker Spaniel rescue here in the area.
Cool.
And the first thing I do when they get when Sue Markham and her gang gets a rescue, first thing we do is get them in. I have a look at them. I see what's been done, what hadn't been done, and that kind of thing.
Okay.
So I would start. I'd take them to your veterinarian immediately. And then go from there.
There you go.
Okay.
Talking with a great vet, Dr. Mark Sprayberry. And can you give us your information again, sir?
Yeah, I'm Mark Sprayberry. I own Olive Branch Pet Hospital and Boarding. And we're on Davis Highway, 4220 North Davis.
There you go.
And check us out. We do a really good job, and we look forward to seeing you.